It's just fun.
Wait, we haven't even had sex again yet.
I'm just not that kind of girl. I only have sex once on the first date. I'm just gonna call an Uber.
Your driver will be ready as soon as he puts on his pants.
Is your bad man?
Watch and learn, bye.
I have to tell you something, babe. I've been dating this girl. She's white.
A white girl?
Hey, you can't look like you and you're a white girl.
It's okay. We hate terrorists.
I wonder who that could be.
I'm guessing it's a young, single Pakistani woman.
This is Zubeda. For your files? Your ex-files? That's your favorite show, huh? The truth is out there.
Are you judging Pakistan's next hot model?
You know how we have arranged marriage in my culture?
Oh my God, I'm so stupid. Can you imagine a world in which we end up together?
I don't know.
I'm looking for Emily Gardner. She was checked in tonight.
There's an infection. We put her in a medically induced coma.
Coma.
You should call her family.
Thank you, Kamala. We're gonna handle things from here.
I think I'm just gonna wait anyway.
You guys broke up. I'm not sure why you're here.
I'm just gonna stay for a second. Is this seat? Is that lady still looking at me?
The Big Sick. Thought I'd finally do a review for this movie. I saw this right when I came back from Europe, actually. It was playing at the LA Film Festival, and it was getting so much fucking praise this year. I mean, I think it's at a 97% or 98% or something like that. And it was getting so much praise out of Sundance that when I heard it was coming to the LA Film Festival, because I don't think it's coming out in theaters until mid-July as far as its wide release. So I was like, gotta go over to the LA Film Festival. I gotta go check this film out. Maybe it could be a breakout or a standout of the summer. We'll see. I've been seeing a lot of shitty movies this summer, so I was like, I need to go with my judgment here on that. And it's basically a true story. This is a romantic comedy based on a true story. The actor you have here, Kumail Nanjiani, he's playing himself of what happened, because he's married to, what's her name? Emily V. Gordon, I believe. And she, reading it right here, she was diagnosed with Still's disease. I have no idea what that is, to be honest. It's a rare systematic auto-inflammatory disorder that can shut down major organs if left untreated. Wow. Literally, she know 8 months later, well, after she woke up 8 months later, her and her husband, played by Kumail, are in real life and in the movie, she ended up marrying him. Basically, it's a, like I said, romantic comedy. We start off with Kumail Nanjiani and Emily V. Gordon. She wrote this film. She had Zoe Kazan play her as Emily, and they meet each other. I'm not gonna lie, I walked in about 2 minutes late, so I might miss. I got to the part right when they were in bed with each other, and next you know, she's like, "I'm gonna get an Uber ride." He gives her a ride home. She's not really serious about a relationship. She's just like, "I don't think we should see each other again." And he's kind of like, "Yeah, I'm not into it neither." But she's like, "But I still want some of that dick. I'm not gonna lie." So they kind of have a series on and off until finally they start really getting serious. Only for, obviously he's Pakistani in real life and in the movie too, by the way. And his parents are constantly, and I mean constantly, I think it's, is it every Saturday or it's something like that. Once a week he has to go over the his family's house for dinner, because it's just tradition. Just go down and pray and stuff like that. Even though Kumail here, he doesn't really believe in all these family traditions that they have and stuff like that. And, you know, this movie really captures the essence of cultural diversity as far as the differences between, you know, being an American and a Pakistani-American. Because his parents still follow those old mentality rules and stuff. And they're constantly trying to set him up with a future bride-to-be. Pretty much their arranged marriages, if you will. And I got to tell you, watching this movie, my God, man. Maybe I haven't. I don't know. I don't really know who's Pakistani in these days, you know. But there's some fine-ass Pakistani women in here. I can tell you that right now. What was this one chick named? Vella Lavelle? Oh, yeah. She's hot. Like, she shows up kind of, I think she was like the last one, man. Matter of fact, she's fine in the motherfucker. She was born in New Mexico. Wow, New Mexico actually has Pakistani women. If she is Pakistani, it doesn't really say so, but yeah. Oh, yeah, she's, whew, I don't know what he's thinking. Sorry, Emily, I would have got rid of your ass in a heartbeat. So, you know, I mean, granted, I'm looking at real Emily right here. I'm like, real Emily's pretty hot herself, too. Zoe Kazan, she's just kind of cute. You know, it just, yeah, that's about it. I wouldn't go hot, whatever, compared to Vella Lavelle. There was a couple of other ones in here, too. But I don't know their names. I think there was... Vella Lavelle, too, she asked if I had a personality compared to the other girls. I guess because maybe she got more screen time. You know, she was doing, like, magic tricks and stuff, interacting with the family. I thought she was really nice for the little bit of time she had in here. I don't know who any of the other ladies are that showed up. But nonetheless, though, so... Emily finds out that, well, what's this... Because he keeps, like, a... What is it? Like a jar, not even a jar, like a book of all the pictures and women stuff that his parents are trying to sell. She ends up finding it, and he's like, well, what the hell is this? And he ends up telling her about, you know, well, you know, my culture, they have arranged marriages, but I don't know what to believe in that, and I'm not really going for that. And then Emily kind of freaks out on him and be like, don't you think this is something you should have told me that you've been meeting all these women and stuff? And he was just like, I didn't really think it's, I didn't know how to tell you because, you know, I'm fighting a 40-year-old. I think he said 40-year-old stereotype of my family not trying to leave me, because usually when you go against the grain, the family ends up disowning you and stuff like that. He's like, so I'm finding it very hard to tell my parents, because she's all like, well, your parents don't even know about me or anything like that, right? And he's like, no. He's like, I'm trying to fight this and pretty much see how I can explain this to them without pissing them off and disowning me, because to me, my family is everything and I love them and I don't want to lose them, but at the same time, I don't want to lose you neither. So you can really tell the conflict of struggle there. She ends up leaving him. Also, he's a comedian too. He does stand up and he's trying to make the big, I forgot what it was called. It was, basically, he was trying to get signed to this big show where he could headline it. And so he's doing, like, a lot of stand-up comedy until he gets noticed. And she ends up leaving him. Then next thing he gets a phone call from one of her friends saying, hey, we all got... They're all in school, her friends. They're all in school. And they're saying, hey, we got finals and stuff we need to study for, and you're the only guy we know. So, because she's pretty much introduced him to all her friends and everything. So they was like, can you come to the hospital and check on her? All right, thank you, bye. He shows up. He finds out she has... the fuck did I say that was called again? Hold up, gotta look it up. Still's disease. It's like they just made that shit up, you know. Still's disease, where she could potentially die, and they have to put her in a coma to remove the infection that's getting close to her lungs, and I think they said her kidney. Well, that comes up later. So he actually signs a paper and says, yeah, I'm the husband, put her in the coma, and let's go ahead and operate on her. And at first, I was like, ugh. That is not an easy thing to do, especially when you... I mean, you've been with this girl for quite a couple of months and stuff. And the first thing you see after you break up with her and is her laying out... Look, she looked awful, too, by the way. As far as her laying out and the doctor tell you, you got to put her in a coma. You know, sometimes people don't wake up out of these comas. So I can only imagine Camille's... sense of mindset of having to sign that paper and living with that guilt. Oh shit, if she don't wake up, then damn. Then next you know, one of the nurses says, call the parents. The parents are played by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano. She plays Beth, he plays Terry. They end up showing up and they kind of... Well, Beth is more so giving him the stink eye, saying, you guys broke up, I don't know why you're here. She pretty much knows... They pretty much know everything about him because, well... Emily loved him, and she told everything about him to her. He ends up sticking around anyway until kind of Ray Romano more accepts him into... He's like, all right, let's have a chat. And next thing you know, it's just them three really just growing together and Camille learning more of that, you know, as much as he tries to, get around the whole fact that, oh, they broke up. He still has feelings for her, and deep down he really loves her. And it's through her family he learns just a little bit more of, you know, what makes her so special to him. And that's pretty much a plot synopsis right there. I gotta tell you, I don't think this is, I don't know how the critics are saying that came out of Sundance, how, you know, probably the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't think that, but I will say, though, this movie is quite endearing and charming, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, walking into this film, I guess one of the main reasons why I wanted to see it, too, is, although I didn't want to see it, to be honest, is because I, too, dealt with a similar, well, I guess not really similar. Spoiler alert, I guess we all know Emily survived because she wrote this film, so, I kind of dealt with a similar problem here when my fiance was in the hospital, and I remember there was a scene in here. Ugh, it kind of made me uneasy. Even though I know she wrote the film and stuff, and obviously she lived, there's a scene in this film where he just gets a call from Ray Romano's character, her dad, and it just says, "Come quick now." You know, I remember getting that kind of call. And that long walk down that doctor's hallway, whatever, they did the camera angles just right too on Camille's face, when he was just like, "Oh dear God, I don't want to be in there," you know. And that long walk down that hallway, I was like, "Ugh," it kind of made me uneasy. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, and then, oh, there was another thing in here too, where once they found out that. This operation went well, but she's not restoring, the operation went well to get it from her lungs, but then it spread to her kidney, so they got to keep her under and stuff like that. They set the family and Camille in this room. It's the grievement room or whatever and stuff. And I remember having to be taken to this room, too. And I was so pissed off in this room because I'm reading all the signs on the wall. It was one of those rooms where it's just like, oh, you just lost a family member or a loved one or something like that. And it's got like a waterfall, little trees and stuff like that, bing bags, keep you calm, cool, relaxed. And on the walls it says, you know, that person's in a better place, blah, blah, blah. And you're just reading around this wall. And I just like, you know, I was 23 at the time, so I was angry as fuck, to be honest. So just looking around here, and I was like, yeah. And then when they stuck him in here, I kind of got a little bit of a chuckle. I will say, although I don't think it's the greatest thing ever, my negatives on that is just, I feel like it was just missing that one power punch there that could have just excelled this to be probably one of the best films of the year. Because it's damn good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to take anything from this film. And I think more of why it's so good is because of the direction that it has here. Who directed this, by the way? Michael Showalter. And who the fuck is that? He's wrote a lot of shit. Where's his directing status at? Here we go. He's done like 10 things here. I see the big cell. Okay, he ain't done a damn thing then. Never mind. He directed The Baxter back in 2005, which I don't even know what the fuck that is. So he hasn't really directed much, but I guess why it feels so much more realer is mainly because of Emily V. Gordon and Camille, husband-wife duo here. They wrote the film here. And maybe that's why it feels more has more authenticity to it, because this whole film just felt so natural and organic, and it just felt so right to do, and it's uncomfortable at times too. But I think the great thing about the writing and the direction of this film here is that even though it's so uncomfortable, they have these moments where. It's true, it feels right, and it just has that authenticity, like I said earlier, that authenticity that just makes it feel much more natural. It doesn't feel like no one's acting or anything like that. And clearly this is a real, based on a true story experience here, and from what I heard, it almost exactly went down like this up until the, you know, well, actually, yeah, even went exactly down like this from T here, because it's coming from these two, Camille and Emily, here, their responses here. My negatives, I don't really have too many negatives. I will say maybe it goes on a little too long. It's about a flat 2 hours. Probably could have shaved off 10 minutes of it. I don't know where. Maybe somewhere in the later half of the third act, maybe more so. Because I enjoyed the middle act for what it was of getting close to the parents and stuff. I found it to be funny. I got a lot of laughs out of this film. for a little rom-com here. You know, there was a couple of chuckles in here. I thought that the relationship between the two characters were great. It's funny because even though it's written by Emily V. Gordon, the girl that plays Emily in here, I thought she had great chemistry with Kumail's character. There's a mix of tones in this film, and that's not a negative for me. That's actually in my positive here. It balances these tones so well that it's damn near almost shocking how it succeeds in that. I mean, you have the cultural differences. The cultural differences are clashes. It's a romantic comedy. It's a serious illness movie like Fault in Our Stars, but this is so much better than Fault in Our Stars because it ain't cheesy or sappy. It doesn't come off fake as shit, just emotionally manipulative or anything like that. This one actually comes off real. And it's a drama deep down too when it gets to the second half and the third act. It balances these meshes. It has this mesh of tones where it finds that laughter through tears, which the tear sweet spot, you know? I mean, Emily, she spends most of the movie in the coma, but the thing about the film, too, that it does so great is that even though she's in the coma, you still feel her presence, you know? And I don't know if it's because she's brought up so much or you can see how it's impacting Camille's decisions in life and stuff like that and what he later does when he finds out that she could possibly die and stuff. Her presence there feels so much more powerful in sets. Another thing I praise the movie for, it's not afraid to explore racism and with the Middle East of Pakistan and stuff like that. Once again, there's a lot of hot-ass Pakistan women in this film, too. I'm going to get in there or whatever. Camille's character is like, I like X-Files, like a lot of sci-fi video game shit, you know. I don't pray to Allah. I don't do any of the stuff that my parents want me to do or nothing like or my brother. Who was his brother played by, actually? Oh, it's Adil Akhtar. He plays Navid in here. I don't know who his wife is in here. But the movie is subjected to... Well, actually, Camille, he's subjected to the racism both casually and pointed. And they handle that really smart and funny. There's a hilarious moment. They're a hilarious moment, but there's also uncomfortable truth in it as well. There's a sequence when they're at this comedy club, and he's doing stand-up, and the parents are there of Emily, and this one guy yells out, you know, go back to ISIS, and the Holly Hunter's character, who I loved in this film, by the way, she plays this southern gal, old-school mom, really well in the film, too, but she's like, in your face, I'll knock you the fuck out, too, you know. I'm kind of glad they didn't do that. Their parents meet this parents up and do like all this whole cultural clash crap or whatever. Actually, though, although I think with the writing of this film, it probably would have came off more real and authentic here. You see it in so many other different movies. You just go like, ah, fuck me. I don't, like Meet the Parents or something like that. He's like, ah, this shit's annoying now, to be honest. But in here, she's like, why the hell would you say something like that, you know? And Camille is trying not to draw attention to it because, you know, he knows if he feeds into it that it's just going to keep going. And sure enough, the more Holly Hunter's character kept feeding into it, it kept getting into it where she's, he did get into it or whatever. Because, you know, Holly Hunter's character is like, why would you say something like that? And Camille's on stage, he's just like, I think we all know why he said it. Look at me. You know, he's talking about the color of his skin and stuff. And the dude that's yelling, he's just like, look at him. He looks like a terrorist and stuff. Holly Hunter ends up trying to get out to knock his ass out or whatever, you know, defending him and stuff. But Camille, he carries on the show and stuff. So it has those moments of racism in it where what it's like for him to be a Pakistan-American living in today's world of, you know, some ignorant-ass fucking American people who just think all Muslim people are either dangerous terrorists or rapists, killers, whatever the hell you want to call it. Basically, they're the new black people of America. Except they have bombs to these people, I guess. I can't give more credit to the authenticity of the film itself. Especially when it comes from Ray Romano, who, God, I can't remember the last time I've seen him in something. The parents and the Camille, they work so well together in this film. It comes off very natural, and you think that it's going to spend a lot of time with him getting hated on by these two. But they acknowledge that he's there for their daughter more times than he's not. And they have great chemistry together. They really bond well, and you really get to start to see his love for their daughter as well, the more the film goes on, especially when he gets that late phone call right before he's about to get on stage and saying that they can't move her, she could possibly die, as her symptoms are getting worse and stuff like that. Really broke him down of realizing that, you know, life's too short. Sometimes you got to stand up for yourself. And, you know, him telling his parents, because he ended up telling his parents, they showed up one day, each of them showed up, that telling him, I'm not doing this arranged marriage thing, I don't pray and stuff like that. And sure enough, his biggest fear did happen. His parents pretty much said, you know, I'm disowning you from the family and stuff. So it really did feel like he lost everything, especially when Emily wakes up and she tells him right off the bat, yeah, I don't want nothing to do with you. And, you know, it's funny because her parents are trying to tell him, Camille's been here for you this whole time. And she's like, yeah, you did all these great things while I was unconscious. You know, she kind of calls him out, you know, you did all these great things while I was unconscious, not in front of me visibly to see how great you are. So it's like, why should I take your word for it? You know, so they have this kind of minor breakup here, if you will. He kind of starts to take control back of his life more so by telling his family, you can believe in this culture and stuff like that all you want. You know, what's the point of you even moving to America if you still want to live by the old days of back in Pakistan and stuff? You can say whatever you want. You can not speak to me or anything like that, but rather you like it or not, I'm part of this family or not. And he decides to just go to New York with his friends. His friends are awesome in this film, too. I wish I knew who they were played by. I think CJ was Bo Burnham. I don't remember anything. I know he's on Key and Peele, but he was in Hall Pass, that movie back in, what was it, 2010 or something like that. That's probably the only thing I can remember on them. He was born in 1990? Shit. Dude's younger than me. And his wife or girlfriend, A.D. Bryant, who is in here, and she's been on SNL a couple of times. She's on that show Girls. Actually, that's about all I know. they have great comedic moments. They got this one friend too whose comedy sucks, and CJ, I think, told him when he was going over there with their work, they're like, you know, what should I do to, like, mix it up a little bit and stuff like that? And then CJ was like, I have an idea. How about you never get on stage and perform ever again? I think you would do the world a benefit if you just sat back here and never got on that stage so nobody would ever have to listen to you again. It was, like, so bleak and in your face, but it was, like, funny as fuck, whatever. Just how straightforward. Everybody in this movie is just, like, the jokes are just, like, straightforward, like, in-your-face style, too. And it's... I found more humor in that because, once again, it felt real. So, you know, it didn't feel like anyone was reading off a script or anything like that. That's the one thing about this film, you know, because it's a comedy film. And there's a lot of shitty-ass comedy films to where I feel like they just don't even write scripts for these people. They just say, here's a premise. You're a great comedian. Ad-lib. And just run off the mill here. This one, although I know it's written from a script, it's all because obviously the main actor and his wife, they wrote this. But it had this so realness to it that it didn't feel like it was scripted or anything like that. And what was scripted, it felt like it was coming from real people instead of just characters portraying roles, playing stereotypes or anything like that like we normally see in comedy. I know I said... I didn't love it as much as, like, people are raving about it, the critics at least, at Sundance. But I did really enjoy this film, and I enjoyed how clever and smart it was, the laughs that I got out of it, and just the willingness to take chance of exploring that whole Muslim racial tension that they have in America. I think they were in Chicago in this film, exploring, you know, the death of an ex-girlfriend at the time and stuff, and realizing how much you fucked up, you know. Actually being sincere and honest with itself too. Man, I'm kind of teetering. I'll give it a C. I was going to say, maybe I should get this a high C, but I'll give it a C. I enjoyed this film a lot. Hell, I'll probably buy it. And actually, I just looked it up right now. This is another film right here from Amazon Studios. I'm telling you, everybody's always praising Netflix. Amazon Studios makes so much better films than Netflix ever does. Amazon is killing it with their movies here. This easily I wouldn't say get nominated for an Oscar, but had this come out later in the year, I would have said that this probably would have been up in some categories and some awards or whatever. I wouldn't be shocked if you see this at some of the Critics Association awards and stuff like that. Not so much the Oscar here. The performances are just right. They're sincere. They're sweet. They're honest. And it's really good too in some parts. The comedy is great. The cultural clashes is awesome. Everything about this just felt good. I had a good time watching the movie, and I had a good time walking out. So I'll give this a see it. I don't know what it is that it could have to have that extra bit of element. Maybe killed her, but yeah, it wouldn't be real then. You know, it'd be kind of fake there. I really thought they were going to go that route, but then I remembered, oh yeah, the writer of this film is his wife. So I was like, there's no way in hell. I don't know what it could have had to push that, but as far as it being released in the summer, here in the States, well, I guess it got released early this January at Sundance, but here in the States to get its wider release and so at these festivals and now, you know, and worldwide, this is actually a nice gem of the summer here. This is something that possibly has a chance of making my top five if this rest of this summer just sucks ass. So I'm going to drop a seat on this bad boy right here.
So, 9/11. I've always wanted to have a conversation with people.
You've never talked to people about 9/11?
I'm still standing. Want to do anything? You got a Paula games?
No,
I can't. Play it. You can't rhyme it. You try to find a word that nobody can rhyme.
Okay. And Stonehenge.
Yeah, see, you would win.
Yeah.
I think I screwed up with your daughter.
Yeah, you did.
Give you some advice, Kamal. Love isn't easy. That's why they call it love.
I don't really get that.
I know. I thought I could just start saying something and something small would come out.